Thank you, church, and thank you, Devon. Someone already said earlier in the service they felt there's such an anointing here this morning. And just when Devon was praying, and also when I could tell when Nick was getting prayed for, the Holy Spirit was so present. And he's close, he's always close. We've just got to be receptive to him and enjoy the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Devon, for opening in prayer. And I've just got a scripture which I want to base, want to talk about and just lead on to this morning. And I've been excited for quite a while to bring a message, but in that excitement there's been some agitation, and is that right, and should I do that, and should I do this? So, Father, I trust in you that you have placed a word for me, or for the church, onto me this morning. And Lord, I dedicate it to you, and I bless the ears that receive this message in Jesus' name. Philippians 4, and I'm going to read from verse 4 to the end. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. There's an instruction. We've been instructed. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, that's what we've just been doing, giving thanks to God, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And Paul goes on to say, finally, brothers and sisters, finally, Hillside Church, finally, Alan, remember, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. There's a whole lot in that that we can just meditate on. And the final words, the peace of God will be with us. Thank you, Lord. Those that were present last time, I brought a message. And this is a continuation of a theme. It's not a continuation of a message, but a continuation of a theme of what I call what's in my toolbox. And last time I was up here, I talked about connections and that connecting with God, the prayer is the connector with God. Now, I brought something up here. I'll put that one down there as well. My toolbox. Okay. And I've got some little aids to talk about. So, this just happened yesterday. Just yesterday, I went to a garage sale. Many enjoy garage sales, and sometimes you just pick up a little treasure, which I did, a magnifying glass. And I don't have one in my toolbox or in my shed, and I just saw it there. But I also saw something else in it. When I've already written my message, and when I found this, and then I went down to my shed earlier this morning, and I just got a little bit of stuff on there. You can't see it too well, but it's brass underneath that. And I can just imagine this being polished around here, and the handle, which has been dipped in a bit of paint to use as a paint stirrer, will be restored. But then I reflected also, is God wanting me to examine something, or is God examining my heart? Questions for me that you can ponder onto that. I've spoken before that one of my hobbies, or my hobby, is restoring old dilapidated furniture, and I enjoy just getting down in my shed and just working on things, or projects I call them, that have been neglected. And I often ask myself, how can we admire something that's been discarded, that's chipped and scratched, and it's got all different coverings and coatings on it? The outside appearance is yuck, who would want that? But can the former beauty be revealed? And I'm just going to explain a few things this morning and talk about the beauty that's underneath. Another title for my message could be called Restoration. And restoration is an act of restoring to the condition or of being restored, such as bringing back to a former position or presentation. So then I go on and look up what does restoration mean. Other words for restoration: refurbishment, renovation, rehabilitation. We read a lot about that, those that follow Shalom and their reports there. Reconstruction, reclamation, repairing, revival, revival within us, revival in Hillside, revival in our hearts, recovery, regeneration, recreation, rejuvenation, facelift, not looking at anyone, look at myself in a mirror, fixing and repairing, renewal, rebirth, resurrection, resuscitation. And I just poured on that one. Often we only think about resuscitation in the fact of someone at a beach or a pool and they need resuscitation. But in our day-to-day life, we need that breath. We need God's breath. Does anyone want any and desire any of those things in their lives? In the work that I do on a piece of furniture, I get out my tools. I get out my blow gun, my hot blow gun. I was using this last night or yesterday afternoon. It was very hot and I had this on and the paint was just bubbling off and coming off real quick. And when the paint's coming off, you just get your scraper and scrape it off. And then you can just work down through various sandpapers and things and get that surface really smooth. But it's a time, it's a process, and it takes time. It's not just something that, done. We'd probably all like to do this with our lives. Restore a finish. One application will restore it. Who would like one application on their life and be restored? It doesn't happen that way. It's a process. And I was quickened to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And the Lord says, I know the plans I have for you. I know the presentation that I want for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. It talks about expectation of something better, something, I'll use the word prettier, but you know what I mean, something that's more presentable. But what about in our own lives? What about when we go home, when we sit in our chair? How do we go about restoring our own lives? Where do we start? Well, in the physical, in our bodies, do we go down and ring up the local gym and join up there and then start pumping iron and doing things like that? Well, that's one aspect of restoring our bodies. We have to keep fit and healthy and strong. We're encouraged to do that, living stronger, living longer. We get that message from the government. We get that message from our doctors. One aspect. In our spiritual walk, do we go and find a desert and go on a retreat for 40 days and just wander around and out in the wilderness? You could do that, and there's places that where it's called for, but it's not quite that easy just to go walking or wandering or reclusing for 40 days or for a long period of time. What is it that we've covered up with that old paint, with the old layers of lacquer, layers of paint, the scratches, all those nasty things? How do we cast aside the old? How do we restore what's underneath? God had answered all of these questions by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to prepare a way for our salvation, then for an ongoing walk with him. We've sung that song. It was such a beautiful worship song this morning, that he is the way maker. And all of those words relate to what we're talking about this morning. So it's not just a matter of turning on a switch and saying, Holy Spirit, restore me. There's some things that we've got to do. We don't just sit there and wait and wait. We've got to seek God. We have to give him access and permission in our hearts for him to speak to us. And we might listen, but do we obey, trust and obey? For there's no other way. And like several other restoration projects in my shed, nothing will happen unless I make room on the floor, make room on the bench, and set aside a time to get started. We've probably all got set aside projects, but we know that we have to start on one and get one finished before we can get going. I need a framework and a structure and a plan and that time set aside to spend on that job. I didn't bring it, but I could have a can of Mr. Sheen, couldn't I? And just spray over it and wipe it all over. That's not restoration. That's just doing a polish job. That's just doing an upfront, comb your hair and come along. It's what's underneath. I need to assess in the natural. I need to deduct what has to be done. But in the spiritual, what's God showing in my heart to be done? In the natural, I might need assistance. Some projects I just don't have the skills for. I don't have the skills to restore a beautiful French polished oak table and a lovely set of drawers or an English dresser that's been highly French polished, but it's just been neglected in the back shed for decades. And with any finish, after it has been restored, it just needs ongoing cleaning up and present and looking after. And very often the outward appearance of the cabinet or the piece of furniture is just covered up and messed up. Decades ago, it followed a fashion. And in those days, it might have been the fashion to get that old piece of furniture and paint it bright yellow. I've seen that done. Just slap on the paint. But that was following whims and fashion at the time. We don't follow whims and fashion. We follow the truth that's in the gospel. And sometimes this work requires an extended time to repair those things, the woodwork, the structure, and then get back to the veneer and repatch the veneer. Blend in the different types of wood. It's all a time process of wood work. Patience, persistence, and a lengthy process. And then when it's finished, it's admired. People don't see all those hours and hours of work that's been put into it. You do that because of love. That's why God puts into us his love. It's not just a quick one-hour dose on a Sunday of his love. His love is there for all times. And in my walk with the Lord, I continuously allow myself to go under this restoration process. And one of the ways I've found to submit to the Holy Spirit is with trusted prayer ministers to go through this process. And I have submitted to this process many, many, many times through a ministry called Victorious Ministry Through Christ, often referred to as VMTC. Victorious Ministry Through Christ is an international organisation and very active here in Australia and Perth, and it uncovers those things that are hurt. All those barriers that I've put up, all those blockages, those brick walls, part by part, the Holy Spirit has just been dismantling those as they've been exposed to me or revealed to me. I confess them to God, and God has done such a beautiful work of forgiveness. I first attended a school back in 2010 after one of our members here, Kent McDowell, tapped me on the shoulder and gave me a brochure and said, have a read of that. Oh, and then the next week he gave me a little booklet, and I just put it on the shelf, as we often do with booklets, but I knew I had a gap of time coming up, and later in the year I read that book, and I know exactly where I read it, under what tree and what position. I was on holidays, so I was down at the campsite at Busselton, and I was staying in the front cottage, and outside of that, it was just such embedded in my mind when I read this book of, it was just a book of showing the way. And then I talked to Kent and others, and finally I attended a ministry school, and that did the heat gun work. That took off all those things that I was pushing back on. And my Jesus is faithful to forgive all of my sins, all of my hurts and scars that I bring before him, all of those things that I've pushed aside. And the Holy Spirit uses the tools found in the Word of God to slowly and methodically heal me. And the restoration is an ongoing process. It's not a once of. And in my journey, I've met so many sincere and true friends, trusted friends who are part of this prayer ministry. And two of my friends are here today, and they come up from the church, the Blessing Church from Mandra. And I'm going to invite in a moment Zach and Kendall to come up and share part of their journey. And just before they come up, in many ways, because I've known Zach and Kendall for quite a while, in many ways their journey is like a fine 12-seat dining suite. You can imagine you see them in a lovely antique shop with beautifully carved and upholstered chairs, complete with ornate side table and sideboards over this side. That has been completely neglected, completely abused, completely left in the weather and used for all the wrong process and purposes. But for God who has restored them as this antique piece of furniture to be worthy for the king to sit at and be seated at. So I'd like to welcome Kendall and Zach to please come up. Here we go.
Thank you very much. Hello. Now, I'm Kendall, and this is Zach, obviously, but some people can be confused. Alan, I feel like that's prophetic about the 12 seats, because Zach and I have been doing some little small groups, and God's really been speaking to us about small groups and how even Jesus lived like that. So, I'm just going to sit with that and see what the Lord's saying. So a little bit of my background is that I was raised in a small country town called Corrigan, on a big farm. I was raised in an Anglican church, and life was pretty average and normal being a country kid. At 14, my parents got divorced, and it was very amicable. I moved with my mum to Bunbury, and I went from a school of less than 200 to a year group of 200. So in Corrigan, I'd never heard of drugs, let alone seen them. And I went home with a girl that had taken me under her wing in my first months in Bunbury. And there I was introduced to a dysfunctional world where their culture, the culture of their family, was to take drugs recreationally together. So in that first year in Bunbury, I had the choice of good or evil, and I buried my wisdom and I chose rebellion and destruction. So by the time I was 15, I had tried most drugs. I was dabbling in the new age and I thought I was invincible. And from there, it was a very steep descent. I met Zach. We fell madly in love at 15. And within 4 months, found out we were pregnant with our first child. So at 16, we had our first daughter, Ella. And then our second daughter, Faith, we had at 21. And our third child, Knox, we had at 23. So we genuinely thought we had it all together. And for many years, we did have success. We ran businesses and lived what we thought was a very prosperous life. Over the years, I got deeper and deeper into the occult, and I went searching for spiritual enlightenment. So I never found peace, and I was always overwhelmed and with information that conflicted one another. So I was still an addict, and I was still a very unkind and peaceless person. So every time something didn't leave a lasting fix, I would attach another alternative method into my practice until I was completely unaware how deep I really was into witchcraft and the occult. So a few months before I turned 27, I was about to leave Zach. I wanted life, and he was ultimately choosing death. He was using more than I had realised, and I was grappling with the demonic in my home because of all the open doorways I'd entered. So I took my daughter to a youth service after months of her begging, and as I walked in to sign her in, I was so powerfully hit by the Holy Spirit. It was quite like this. I walked into the back of the church and someone came to greet me, and I just broke down in tears, and I didn't stop crying for a month. And I began weeping and weeping, and I hadn't cried like that in years. I was really quite hard. So I was radically transformed, and within 3 weeks, I was trying to attend everything the church had to offer, and they were a little bit like, slow down, settle down, just choose one connect group. And then a few weeks later, on my 27th birthday, I declared that I would never take drugs again. So Zach thought I had lost the plot, and he didn't understand it at all. He thought I was seeing someone else, and he would ask me, who is it? Who's this guy? And I'd say, it's Jesus. So Zach was curious about where I was going and what was happening, and he'd met some guys, and he had his back healed really amazingly. And then he had an encounter with God where he was fully delivered of witchcraft, and he was just never the same after that. And I'd say to God, I wanted to be a Christian first. Like, why won't you do that to me? So that's a brief recap. That's a really brief recap of my story of restoration. And it's nice to think that it was all great from there. But being a Christian is really hard. And our journey of restoration is still happening today. And I think that God is always evolving us and always refining us. And not just us, I think everyone. So as Alan said, restoration can be defined as the act of returning something to its former condition, making something new again. Restoration can also make things better than their current state. Excuse me. So I now, I work in a women's rehabilitation centre. We're called Lilia Haven. If you have any ladies, you know, this isn't a plug for them, but you know what they're doing is amazing. And it's just for women and no children, and we're in Baldivis, so we've been open for 8 months. So I work in this rehabilitation centre, and I see restoration daily. So I've been asking the Holy Spirit for around 4 months about what he wanted me to speak on. And my stepdad's here and my mum, and they've spoken about William Seymour before, but he would sit in a box with a box on his head, and he wouldn't come out until the Lord had said he could speak. And I really feel like that's important, that we aren't coming up here with what our agenda is, what we want to share. So, you know, I've written and I've unwritten, and it was Thursday, the Lord spoke, and I was like, gee, Lord, leaving it to the last minute. So I can share my testimony, and I can speak about restoration easy because I've lived it and I see it. But I wanted to know what God wanted me to share today. So just like Alan, I have been restored through many VMTC schools since I began attending them in 2018. God gently stuck me in the fire, and just like impure gold put under pressure and heat, all of my impurities were bubbled to the top, and the Lord took his ladle and scooped off that dross. And I knew he wanted me to share about a framework we use in VMTC called the Circle of God's Love. So where God has taken us from is undeniable, but the true work is actually walking out our victory, living a true and a healed life. So the mess I was in had left me open to all sorts of attacks from the enemy, and I have given you a very brief and mellow rundown of what our journey has truly been like. So VMTC ministry and training has been a catalyst for freedom and for where we are today. So I was telling my colleague about my intentions to share this framework, and she said, "Kendall, do you even use it?" And that sentence undid me, because I know I use it daily, and it's so powerful, and it made me think of the women that I work with that have no tools for healthy conflict resolution, but they also have no tools or knowledge of spiritual warfare. So the verse, Philippians 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So we teach in VMTC, whatever you touch, see, taste, feel, smell, and even hear, anything that is negative and not of God or does not align with Philippians 4, verse 8, can stay with you and impact you. And I know many of us still grapple with the everyday struggle of holding offense or walking out traumatic experiences. Sometimes these things we didn't even choose. They happen to us. Car accidents, people attacking us, spiritual attacks. So this year God had been showing me in all different areas of my ministries that he is in frameworks. He is the creator of order and structure. So I've had people tell me that God is free and that following a structure is religious or legalistic, but God is a God of order and he is in the details of structure. So imagine a circle divided into three parts. And the first section is, the heading is real. And in this section is where you get real with the Lord. So is there anyone you need to forgive? Is there anything you need to confess? And you just walk that out with the Lord. And the Bible offers many absolutions. And I always run to this one in the ministry because it's the one I remember, is as far as the east is to the west, the Lord has removed your transgressions. And then after we've done the real part, we move into deal. And this is the part where we would discern spirits. And I think people struggle with this a lot because they think that there's a lot of stigma about spirits, I feel. But discerning spirits doesn't mean you have to have a massive manifestation or deliverance. There is things that oppress us daily, and I think it's important to discern them, bind them, cast them where they go. And then the next part of that is cutting ourselves free from a bondage. So imagine that, you know, that between Zach and I, there's a bondage that you can't see. And it can be a good one. We, you know, we're married, we're connected, but sometimes you can have negative bondages. And so the next part would be scripturally, you take the word of God like a sword and you cut yourselves free from a bondage. And then the next thing is you can use the word of God as well like a hammer and smash the power of images, whether that's seeing something perverse, seeing something that's traumatized you, even using the word of God like a hammer to smash the smell of oil if you've been in a car accident or the fumes of a fire in a house fire. You know, like there's so much power in the dealing part, and it doesn't have to be over the top. And then I'd finish the circle with healing and asking the Lord for an infilling of the Holy Spirit, asking for an infilling of the fruits and the gifts, and then praying a healing prayer of any parts that may be ailed. So that is the simple circle. That is a framework we use in VMTC. And then we don't just use it there, we use it in our daily lives. Our kids use it, my parents use it, my friends use it. So after explaining the structure that I just explained to you, to my colleague, she said, wow, I need to do that with my family members. And I just laughed and I said, this is what helps me when I take offense or I have traumatic or sensitive things happen to me on the job. You know, I work a really, it's not stressful, that wouldn't be the right word, it can be, but it's quite, you know, your heart's there. I have to leave my heart there and I have to go home to my kids because these women are broken. They're fighting for their life and that's really hard. And sometimes you just have to cut yourself free from that and go home. So on Thursday, I went to the gym and Zach and I had a very robust exchanging of words. And then I went back to my bar and I went through the circle of God's love. And by the time we got through to our next exercise, the atmosphere had changed. So when I arrived at work, I had my friend text me and say, please pray, I've had this horrible encounter with my friend. And I replied, I'm praying and do the circle of God's love. She said as she'd opened the message, the Holy Spirit had already reminded her to do that and then saw my message and went into prayer. Later she told me she paired this with some other tools that we teach in our small groups and said after her prayers that there was a change. Every afternoon, early afternoon, I went onto the floor with some of my ladies, and the first lady I sat with was having problems with peace and forgiving her ex-husband. And I felt the Lord say to me, do the circle of God's love with her. So I went through the framework and I explained to her how she can use it and that she can use it even when she's alone in her room. And she left feeling different. 30 minutes later, I had another lady come to me and shared her resentment to another participant in the program. And I did the same. I went through the framework and she left different and willing to reconcile with the participant. Safe to say, I left work so humbled by the work the Lord was doing and so encouraged that this framework is more than a list of instructions. It is spiritual warfare of a world that we cannot see. So I asked the Lord, what are you wanting me to share? And I believe he told me that VMTC isn't just about our personal healing and freedom, but when we go to VMTC, we are trained to lead other people into their victory and that he wants his people free. So on Thursday, God not only helped me and my girlfriend get out of a situation that could have left us to fester in offence, but he showed two women who are fighting for their lives a tool that they can use to get through the daily struggle of community living. So God is in the restoration and he desires us to be restored and he desires us to help others be restored. So I think Zach wants to share his testimony and how he's seen the framework be used.
Well, I've got to try and top that now. Everything for me, even what the biggest thing with me is, like Alan said, the school is very much like a toolbox. And that happens with every day of our life, especially with our kids. This day and age, as kids are growing up, there's so much different things than what we've all been brought up with. And that's between, you know, school fights or school arguments with other people. The biggest one for me that's opened my eyes through going to this school is when I first became a Christian, I to be personally honest, I never thought that God would come after someone like me. And he did. And when I saw Kendall transform, I was like, there's no way that I'm having this in my life. And he couldn't change me. But that day there, I didn't realise I was making a vow over myself to say he couldn't do that. And when I became a Christian, I was radically saved and he freed me from drugs and alcohol in that time of our life where I was going right behind Kendall's back and taking drugs and our life just became like a spring. It was just so up and down. And the first time I ever heard from the school, and Kendall says to me, she goes, well, there's a VMTC school for the church. And I was sitting there like, oh, here we go. What's this? Like, what's this going to be about? But when I went into that school and I sat there and I worked through some things that happened in my life, I couldn't believe that I could be cut free from certain things that I was involved in before I was a Christian. And that's from being hanging out with some people, the wrong people, doing the wrong things. And through the circle of God's love, you know, I confess some the sins that I thought, you know, but we're going through. And the freedom I had after from saying those things, it's just so you just want more. And that's for us through this school as a family. It's building us up for the kingdom, for God, to be able to spread the word, to be able to say these things, to be able to say, you know, like Kendall said, like it's to help other people. And for us, you know, we've gone through so much of a journey through the VMTC school that a little testimony for one, when you go through a school, it is a school. So you learn things, you get taught, and you can end up being a lead prayer minister. And for a lot of times, I held myself back because I watched Kendall accelerate. And I was like, oh, I'm holding her back. I'm just gonna, you know, I'm not getting this. And I'm not very book smart when or reading. So when it comes to that sort of stuff, I'm like, oh, I'm not getting any of this. Where's this going? But when I went in, God used me in different ways. And I learned that through doing ministries and being in other people's ministries where, you know, I sit there and I'm like, oh, God's saying this. And then I'm like, do I say it? And then eventually I just actually went with the Spirit and I said the things I needed to say. And there was this one time, it was only, I think it was last year actually, when COVID was coming around and everything else, and me and Kendall went to the start of the school, and then our daughter got COVID, so one of us had to stay home. And I went to the school by myself, and you know, it was the first time I've really done anything like that without Kendall. We do a lot of things together, and this time I was like, all right, God, I don't have her to push me, I don't have there to sit there and be like, you know, do you understand this or do you understand that? And I really just trusted in the Lord. And that whole time I sat in there, I said, God, if you want me to be a lead, you know, prayer minister, you'll push me and accelerate me to where you need me to be. It's not me. I can't do this myself. And when I said that, I knew and I felt in my spirit that something was going to change in that school. And when it happened, at the end, you know, I got lead prayer minister, and Alan came up and prayed for me. And he said these words, and I just sat there and I could just feel the Spirit, and I just knew from that day forth, VMTC school is going to be in my life for a very long time. And it's just, it upsets me now because I know that when I was there, I was broken and I was going through things, but there's still things in our life that we got to deal with, and God wants to unravel us. And it's like an onion, he just wants to pull those layers back. And he's still doing the work in me, in my life today. There's still things in my life that I'm still working through, still dealing with. And I literally, you know, I've been going to different sorts of counselling. And when I was there, I sat there and I was, you know, saying to this guy, I was like, oh, I need to be cut free from this. And he's like, cut free from what? And I was like, oh, and I stood there just in silence. And it was like God said, like, you need another ministry. And for me, I was like, right, if this is all I needed to do to come here to do this for this day, I'm going to another ministry. I need to have another ministry. So just those little frameworks that happen in the school, it gets embedded into your head so much that God just works so slowly with you. He's a gentleman and he just wants to do those things with you. And yes, I didn't really plan too much. Kendall has, like, I just kind of go up here and with the Spirit. So, but the biggest thing is, like Kendall said, you know, we have such a framework in our life now through Circle of God's Love. Like, even our marriage, just so many times when you do it, you just feel the freedom of doing it. You feel the peace that comes over your heart from just dealing with things. You know, we're a married couple. It's life. You have these things that come through our life daily. And if we actually just stop and give it to God and we work through these things, it's amazing. And our own kids, you know, our youngest is 8. And Faith is 10, and they even sit there and they go through the same system. You know, sometimes we say it takes 30 seconds, you know, if you just want to get done quick, we'll get it done. And they do it, and then afterwards they're just like, oh, wow, I feel awesome, I feel great. And we're just, we get to sit there and we're like, God's so good. You know, he deals with their kids, and, you know, they're our next leaders that are coming up through the church. And if they can get this framework as a young age, you know, I'll be grateful, I'll be so grateful. So, but yeah, I thank God for every day for doing these things. And even like Alan said, you meet so many amazing people through the school. You know, Alan's actually a really good friend of ours, and we've met him through it, and we've met so many other amazing people through it. So, yeah, thank you very much.
I'll just share, if I may, Zach. some words that I actually had over Zach at the school that he was just referring to. And it was only the Holy Spirit that could bring me these words and apply it to Zach. It mightn't apply to you, but just quicken to me, and as you can with Google, you can find anything. And I'm just going to read just the first little bit of this, and you might relate it. I don't have to explain it to you, but it's called The Man from Snowy River. There was movement at the station, for the word had passed around that the colt from Old Regret had got away and had joined the Wild Bush Horses. He was worth £1,000. So all the cracks had gathered to the fray, and all the tried and noticed from the stations near and far had mustered at the homestead overnight. For the bushmen love hard riding where the wild bush horses are, and the stock horse sniffs the battle with delight. And it goes on for 10 more minutes. But I encourage you, maybe you want to just read that or even listen to it. But it had a whole portrayal of our lives, Zach's life at the time. He had joined the wild horses, but someone was sent after him. And the one that was sent after him was mild and weak. And old Harrison, I think it was old Harrison, said, "Don't let him join up. He'll never bring him in." But Clancy of the Overflow stood up and said, "Let him ride, let him ride." And the story goes on that the man from Snowy River, the small and spindly one on the small horse, was able to bring the wild one, the one that wanted to do everything independent and be an outcast. And if any of this is of any quickening anything to you, or would like prayer afterwards about anything that we've talked about, please come and see me or one of the elders, or Zach or Kendall. We'd be love to pray for you. And also, just as an open invitation, that VMTC is holding three schools during the year, and one of the schools is in June, will be held here in Hillside. But I don't bring this word as a promotion. I bring it as an encouragement that lives can be changed, lives are changing, restoration is taking place. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, folk.
Thanks,
thank you. And